This is the WHL This Week radio edition presented by the Western Hockey League. Here's your host, John Keane.
Hey, welcome to the show. Ahead, a shocker at the World Juniors. Canada out in the quarterfinals as the WHL-laden Czechia squad pulled off the upset. We'll have full reaction from both sides from Ottawa. The WHL trade deadline approaching and a couple of moves this week bolstering Calgary and Victoria. We'll take a look and hear from Hitman General Manager Gary Davidson. What will the Tri-City Americans be up to? Veteran GM Bob Torrey pops by. And we'll take a look at the WHL Weekly Award winners a little bit later in the show. First up, Canada is out of the World Junior Tournament in Ottawa. It was Edmonton Oil Kings forward Adam Jecko scoring a power play goal in the final minute of regulation for a 4-3 win in the quarterfinals Thursday night. Jecko says it's elation for the Czechs.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to describe it worse. Super tough battle, super tough game, and kind of started really good, and then the game slipped away a little bit from us, and kind of eventually tied the game. But big power play goal, and we are looking forward to the semifinals.
Kelowna Rockets import forward Jakub Stensel having a strong tournament. The win over Canada, huge.
Means the world, to be honest, to do it in their home crowd, with their home crowd, full house of Canada fans. So it's very special for us. We just stuck together as a team, and it was unreal. The energy in the on the box and in the locker room also, like, I've never felt that before, I think.
Czechia features seven players from the WHL, the most of any team other than Canada. And on the Canadian side, disappointment, of course, head coach Dave Cameron.
I thought we were nervous in the first period. I think we were tentative, probably a little leery of the penalties we took the last game, so we were kind of a little cautious there, and I thought they took advantage of that. And then from the second period on, and especially after we tied it, we had some real good looks, and disappointing to lose it the way we did. This tournament was, it was exactly what I knew was going to be coming in. It was going to be 3 to 4 teams that can win it. It was going to be no easy games, and you got to win your sudden death game. So it just, I think, verified that that's exactly what it is. And I think when I look back at our team, we just weren't able to get all parts of our game clicking on the same night.
Several WHL players had strong tournaments. Despite the quarterfinals exit, Braden Jaeger of the Lethbridge Hurricanes was named one of Canada's tournament all-stars. He thanked the fans in Ottawa.
Probably the best atmosphere I've ever played in front of, and they gave us a great experience, and they were great. For how short of a tournament it is, it was one of the closest groups I've been a part of. Bunch of great guys, great hockey players, guys that I hope to stay friends with for ever.
Saskatoon Blades defenseman Tanner Molendijk was also named one of Canada's three tournament all-stars. The medal round will continue through the weekend.
From the drop of the puck to the Edge Chanouth Cup, this is the WHL This Week radio edition.
The Calgary Hitmen have been busy leading up to the trade deadline. Their general manager, Gary Davidson, has pulled off a couple of big moves, including Tanner Howe out of Regina, and most recently, Daniel Hauser coming on board from the Wenatchee Wild. He joins us on the line for WHL This Week. Gary, thanks for making some time for us. I know it's a busy time of year for the general managers.
Yeah, no problem, John. My pleasure to step on with you here.
We'll talk about that in a second, but the hot topic, we were just talking World Juniors and disappointment for Canada and the WHL players, including one of your own who had a good tournament, I think, in Tanner Howe. What was your first takeaway with how Canada played and how the tournament went for them?
Well, again, we're all disappointed as Canadians, finishing under the medals. That's not what we're all about here. We're all about winning gold medals. But again, tournament format is so difficult compared to other things. You face a goaltender and he can win the game single-handedly, and that can impact the tournament, or in the case of the Canadian boys as well. I mean, special teams become a big issue, and or can be a make or break. And obviously, penalties cost and power play goals against the U.S. and again yesterday ended up being a huge difference in those results.
Let's talk about things closer to home, and that is your roster. Very much a decision to build around what you have this season. Gary, when was it in your head to say, hey, let's see what we can do with this team? You went out and made some moves early, acquiring a 20-year-old and Connor Vidsson. You've been very active this season building around this roster. What made you do that?
Well, again, we were in the rebuild last year, carrying 5 16-year-olds, and our goal was to make the playoffs and be competitive hockey right to the end. Well, we were competitive till last weekend. We came up a little short, and we anticipated this year we would take a nice step. It became fairly clear early on that I think we had taken a bigger step than maybe we thought we might with this group. So we decided we'd start to add some pieces to enhance our group, and that's why Havitson was added, and then eventually we added Kalen Parker as well. And with those additions and looking at the East, which I really think is such a tight race, we thought, you know, we keep tinkering with this roster, maybe we can put ourselves over the top and have a good playoff run with a shot at, competing with anybody in the East here. I guess time will tell if our assessment is right or wrong, John.
Yeah, for sure. There's the test. The final test is still coming. You just acquired a goaltender as we speak yesterday. You had some flexibility with your 20-year-old spots. You went out and got Daniel Hauser, who I think you'd be very familiar with his time in Winnipeg and what he did with the ice. He's a proven goaltender in this league. Tell me about that acquisition and why the Hitmen chased him.
Well, again, we felt our goaltending was young and inexperienced, and if we planned on taking a run, we just felt it was important. We had someone in that position, a critical position, that had the maturity, had the experience, and I mean, Mr. Hauser, Daniel there has played a long time in the league, had a lot of playoff games, and has been very, very solid. He was available, and fortunately we were able to make a deal, which I think really enhances this group as we move forward through the second half and into playoffs. Unfortunately, there was some fallout from that. We had to give up Max Mironov, who's been a first-class young man for us the last number of years, as well as a good performer on the ice. So that's a bit of the fallout, but you're only allowed 3 over ages, so now we have a forward, a defenseman, and a goaltender, and we're very excited to add Daniel Hauser to our group here.
You mentioned Maxim Mironov moving out. That does leave you with an open import slot. Is that something you'll be actively trying to fill before next Thursday?
Certainly, that's something we're looking at, again, that's not always that easy to do, but we are in a position now to add a Euro if there's one available, and I think there might be. Between now and the 9th, we'll investigate any of those possibilities out there and see what it leads to.
Over different years, there seems to be, call it an arms race in a division. You know, you think back to 2017, Swift Current Moose Jaw and Regina Memorial Cup year. It seems that there is one division that stands out each and every year, and that year it's the Central, no doubt. Lethbridge definitely making waves with Braden Jaeger's acquisition. We all know what Medicine Hat has been building towards the last couple of years, and now the Calgary Hitmen and perhaps even Edmonton. We'll wait and see on that. So what do you make of that Central division and just the battle that seems to be going on to put the best team forward here for the playoffs?
Well, it's certainly very competitive, and certainly you're right on. I think all the teams are looking to strengthen themselves in the second half and make a playoff push. So it's going to make for a very, very interesting deadline here on, late on the 9th, we actually officially shut down with the deadline, with all rosters being set the next day, the 10th. But it's gonna be interesting to see where everybody is on the 10th and how it unfolds after that, John.
Gary, we talked about the import slot. You said you're actively looking at that, and several other teams still probably with a move or two left, the so-called contenders, if you will. And there's some big names out there that are, you know, have been talked about as being available from different general managers. Do you anticipate a really busy couple of days, maybe not for yourself, but around the league as we look forward to, as you said, the 10th and the rosters being set?
Yeah, I anticipate there will be several moves made, and we're obviously going to investigate whatever is we can maybe make happen for ourselves. But again, it's there's a number of pretty good players going to be made or being made available by the sounds of it from my communication with other GMs. So yeah, it's. It's going to be an interesting and probably very busy 4 or 5 days here, John.
Gary, does this at all remind you of when you built up in Everett in 2017? You made really a big splash with Kamloops, but it was a simpler time back then, I think, with some of these rosters being maneuvered around here. Any kind of recollection of 2017 in a comparison to this year?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, we made the deal with Stu there, who was running Kamloops at the time. I think it was very beneficial for both programs. For us, immediately, we got to the league championship round, and the players we sent over and the pick certainly became very important for Kamloops to start to do what they needed to do to, enhance their team in the future. So, yeah, very similar. I think since then, though, everything's escalated, which I'm not sure it's the best thing, but that's what's happened. And again, the cost of doing business has probably gone too high. But again, that's the reality of where we are today. So you have to figure out if it makes sense. I think up to this point, we've done some acquisitions here that, for the most part, we've used assets that we've acquired in the past there when we started this retool last year here. But it's a little bit much more difficult, I think, to navigate through this now, John, than it was back then.
For sure. Well, you've done a great job of adding to your roster here in a very difficult time to do so here with different trade regulations. But we'll watch the Calgary Hitmen here forward, Gary. It's a fascinating time for fans, especially fans of these teams that are, seeing their team load up. And we do appreciate you spending some time with us here this week on our radio show. Thanks a lot, Gary.
No problem, John. Anytime. And the best to everybody in 2025 here as well.
In the corners and around the boards, the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
Elsewhere, the Victoria Royals acquiring 20-year-old forward Brandon Lozowski from the Saskatoon Blades in a package that included 20-year-old forward Tanner Scott and 2 second-round picks. Blades general manager Colin Priestner addressing Saskatoon media on the move to part with a longtime Blade and the reason for doing so.
It's obviously not fun to trade a guy like Lozowski. It's the first time I think I've ever traded a 5-year guy we drafted. And I still remember FaceTiming him from his high school, junior high, the day we drafted him, telling him I thought we were going to get him. And now he's turning 21 soon. He's a grown man, and a lot of stuff has happened since then. So, he's been a part of 5 great teams with us and a big part of those. And obviously he's etched his place in Blades history as one of the top goal scorers ever here. But ultimately, my job is to look after the future present of this club, and I always promised to the fans that we would never have to go through what they did when we first got the team, which was 5 years of just pain and losing, and now we've gotten to a place where the club's been outstanding on the ice for the last 7 years, and we've had awesome fan support, and I just wouldn't jeopardize that for anything. So it's tough to do, but at the same vein, I think it works for Brandon really well, and it works for us. So it's necessary, but we wouldn't have done this deal if we hadn't have been able to get a guy that had 56 points last year in Tanner Scott. I mean, Lizzo had 80 points last year on a very elite line with two of the best players in Blades history with Wonger and Sito, and Scott got 56 points with, you know, I would say lesser line mates than that, and he's had some injuries this year, so his numbers aren't where I think they'll be in the second half, but we weren't going to trade him just for draft picks and have an empty 20 spot or something like that. Our message to our players is that we expect to win every night. We don't have any draft picks before this deal until the fourth round this year, and we don't have any draft picks in the year after that till the eighth round before today. And like, that's not sustainable long term. You can't, like you said, you can't max the credit card of picks going for it every year. For we've been on every in on and most every player for 7 years that comes available. At some point, you have to pay off the credit card. This doesn't pay it off near completely, but it's a good step to two really valuable picks.
The move came a day after the Royals also added 20-year-old import forward Kenta Isagai from the Wenatchee Wild. This year's WHL trade deadline, Thursday, January 9th.
22 teams, one goal. This is the WHL This Week Radio Edition.
Well, the Tri-City Americans have quietly had a great season down in Kennewick, Washington. Their general manager is Bob Torrey. He joins us on the line for WHL This Week. Bob, where we sit right now, you have to be pretty happy as you hit the stretch run with your season so far.
Yeah, certainly, John. We got off to a very hot start. We had a long run there with a 12-game winning streak, you know. We did some things in the off season to restructure our team, and I think the players responded positively to that. And we've been playing good hockey up until just before the Christmas break, and we're on a little bit of a 5-game losing streak right now, which is something that we got to try and kick ourselves out of. But we're in good position, but we need to be playing better at this time of the year now, as the games get more important and trades start to be made and rosters change, and we've just got to get a little more focused on what we're doing.
Looks like there's been some great crowds down in Kennewick, fans appreciating the brand of hockey right now. You mentioned that skid you're on right now. Does that at all perhaps change your approach at the deadline here in a week away?
I've been doing this so long, probably not, but you go through the thing, well, you're on a skid, so you say to yourself, geez, we got to add to get out of it. And then you're on a skid and you say, well, why would we add when we're not playing well? Mm-hmm. So you go back and forth. But in the end, it's something the players have to address in the room, and it's something they've got to overcome. Adversity is part of growing as a team, whether you're a good team or a developing team. Like I said, I've been doing this long enough that those things probably don't affect my thought process as much as it might earlier in my career.
You know, it's funny, you mentioned you've been doing this a long time, and there's the moniker of Trader Bob, which I don't really think fits, but I think you're in there kind of poking around most years, aren't you?
Yeah, obviously involved every year. I mean, I think there was a time when I made more trades than I do now. It's interesting, the moniker, you're right, probably doesn't fit, because if you look at it, we probably make fewer trades than a lot of teams. I've always had an idea that I draw a line in the sand how far I'll go on a player, and once it passes that line, then we're out. So, we've made some big trades in the past when, Colton Yellowhorn back in the day, Jake Bean a few years ago, the year I added Carter Ashton and Matt McKenzie. Those are probably the three big years that I've added. And we've really only sold once, when we sold Beck Warm and Kyle Olson, and that's something I don't like to do. I think it's hard to walk in your dressing room after you've gutted your team and look at your players in the eye and ask them to go hard every night, and for your fans who pay for season tickets to halfway through see their team changed.
Yeah. I think you've done a good job sort of building a roster on a team that is built for the playoffs. It seemed like you made a concerted effort to get bigger in the offseason and during this year. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, and I've always believed that for a long, long time. Now, the league's changed a lot in the last, like I said, I've been here a long time. The league's changed a lot, where a lot more smaller, skilled, fast players are having great success. And we still have some of those, but we are a big team. But we have to play that way, and when you play that way, you got to be careful that you're not taking too many penalties, that you play on the edge, you don't go over the edge. But we feel we're deep up front and have quality goaltending, and we like our blue line. We'd love to add to the team if we could at a reasonable price, but at the same time, you know as anybody, in the playoffs, you need to have a little bit of luck, and you need to be healthy and going hard. And like I said, we like our team. There's a lot of hockey left still for everybody, so a lot can change down the stretch, even after the trade deadline.
You mentioned a defenseman, and I think there's been talk that, you know, you have been active trying to fill one. There's, you know, some big names out there. How far are you prepared to go, one of these big names that could be out there?
We're prepared to go fairly far, but I don't think I'm going to go into the, when you look back a few years, 3 first-round picks, 2 first-round picks for a 3-month player. I don't think that's healthy for our organization. I really don't think it's healthy for the league, really. You know, we're supposed to be a developmental league, and it looks like now the trend is you have to buy your team, not build your team. And long-term, I'm not sure that's a healthy business model for the Western Hockey League, but everybody has to make their own decisions on what's right for their team. We do feel we'll have a good team again next year, so we don't want to sacrifice anything that's going to hurt us next year, but we certainly would like to add to help for this season. And that makes it difficult with our trade rules, John. As you know, you saw Kamloops go through it during the Memorial Cup year. You're kind of limited with what you can give and what you can get back. And right now the league is at a stage where it's basically only draft picks, because the good teams are going for it. They're quality 18-year-olds. You need them to help you win. So now your signed 16-year-olds aren't available, and only some of the 17-year-olds are available. So even for the teams that are rebuilding, you know, draft picks take a long time to come into your roster unless you flip them for players the next season.
Yeah.
And everybody has a different philosophy. I mean, a team that might be rebuilding, like a Moose Jaw, what they do with draft picks would be completely different than what Kelowna would do, because Kelowna's hosting and they need to acquire talent for next season.
Yeah, there's a lot of different ways to kind of skin a cat, if you will. The NCAA changing landscape, where WHL players are eligible for NCAA scholarships, that has changed the landscape. And Tri-City has been a team that has taken advantage. You've been able to move in some players who were going the college route and are still going the college route, but now can play in the WHL. This seems to be a benefit to your organization so far.
Yeah, it certainly helped, John. And I think this change, we still haven't seen the whole thing. We need to see the landscape probably after a year or two. For us, it's helped initially. It's certainly good for the players and our roster players who have other options other than youth sports. I think it's gotten those players excited. It's brought some players back into the league. For us, we've been able to access players that we had previously drafted and I was able to keep a good relationship with. It wasn't like they were new players that all of a sudden came. These were guys we had previously drafted and were able to recruit back. But certainly it helps. It's like adding free draft picks to your lineup, and it adds some depth, absolutely. And I think in the long run, everyone's going to benefit from this. How many players do we lose at the top end? Like, do we lose any 19-year-olds from the league that would have been 20s? Or heaven forbid, any 18-year-olds, we really don't know how that's going to play itself out.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting for sure. Bob, you're in a stretch right now where you're playing a healthy dose of U.S. division opponents. You're on a homestand right now that'll take you through next week's deadline here. This is really a pretty big stretch for your hockey club by the looks of it.
Yeah, we got 6 of our next 7 at home, and obviously that would be a great time to kickstart and get out of our funk. I thought we played well in the home and home with Portland, but we lost both games, and we didn't play particularly well against Spokane. So, you know, we got Portland coming back into our building tomorrow night. That's a big game for us. And then we've got 3 home games the next week, one before the trade deadline. So, you know, it's a nervous time for players in our league too, because, you know, they see the social media and they see players moving, and in many instances, players don't want to be traded. They're comfortable where they're at and their billets with their team. But I think everybody knows it's part of our league right now. And for fans and for media and people following the league on social media, it's an exciting time. But I think for a lot of young players, we got to realize we're dealing with 16 to 20-year-old kids. It's a nervous time for them. They're not pros getting a paycheck. It's they're young men developing themselves, not only as hockey players, but as people. And it can be very nervous and stressful for them.
Yeah, for sure. It's that time of year. Bob, we always like to check in on you each and every year, and we wish you good luck and good fortune ahead of the January 9th trade deadline, and thanks for being a guest here on WHL This Week.
Always a pleasure, John, and all the best in the new year.
The Western Hockey League Player of the Week.
For the first time in his young WHL career, 15-year-old exceptional status defenseman Landon Dupont has been named the Tempo WHL Player of the Week.
Smith with a long wrister, tipped in a save by Ratzlaff, spun towards the net, they score! Landon Dupont with a power play goal, and the Tips have tied it.
The 15-year-old picked up the WHL Rookie of the Month honors for December, adding to the same award he captured back in September-October. DuPont led all WHL skaters this past week with 3 goals and 2 assists in 2 games, and voice of the Silver Tips, Casey Bryant, spoke with him after returning from the Christmas break.
How is this transition like after being away from the city and away from the team for 10, 11 days? You come back, you're thrown right back into the action with a pair of really nasty games. What has that experience been like for you and the rest of the crew in the room?
Yeah, it's been good. Obviously, the break's good for us, but, you know, no days off, and we come back, and you know, we played our game just like we did before the break, and, you know, great resiliency from our group, just being able to come back from that break and get these 4 points.
You get to play in an NHL arena yesterday, Climate Pledge Arena. What'd you make of the whole experience?
Yeah, it was amazing. It was a cool experience for sure, like just the fans as well. And obviously the rink itself is pretty cool. So that was just a surreal experience.
Meanwhile, Edmonton Oil Kings forward Joe Aginla has been named the WHL Rookie of the Week.
And comes to Aginla, turning, firing, scores! Patrick Joe Aginla! It's 8-2 Edmonton!
Matt Barrett on the call as Aginla stunned the competition with a hat trick and an assist in 2 games. That was his first WHL hat trick. And between the pipes, Prince George Cougars netminder Josh Ravensbergen has been named the WHL Goaltender of the Week.
Cut off by Scott into the middle. Lopinen one-timer. Rebound Newman. Great pad save by Ravensbergen as Newman trying to find it on the far side. But Ravensbergen is able to cover.
The 18-year-old picked up a pair of victories in Victoria, going 2-0 with a .96 goals against average and a .970 save percentage. The 6'5", 192-pound netminder is a top prospect for the 2025 NHL Draft. Hey, that's the show. I want to say a big thanks to our guests this week. Thanks to Les Lazarek in Saskatoon. It's another weekend here, final one before the WHL trade deadline. Enjoy it. We'll talk to you next week.